Well, hello everyone. Today, as I promised, I'm going to be talking about why conservatives are total stone cold losers. Here is my list of top 10 typical traits of conservatives. But before I go through them and explain exactly why this leads to permanent loss on the part of conservatives in the great game of politics, let's take a little look at a typical conservative.
Evening all. Do you sense that? Do you hear it? Do you smell it? Can you feel the sensation? That, my friends, is a sensation of freedom. Yeah, you can't buy it in shops.
That is a typical conservative. So let's have a look now at the 10 traits. What I'm going to do in this video, I'm going to list these 10. Then I'm going to give their 10 opposites from political winners. And then I'm going to go through them in turn, taking it quite slowly on each one. If it takes a while, it's going to take a while. All right, so the first thing is that the typical conservative is a rule follower. Slavishly adhere to the rules. Secondly, closely related, they act as amateur referees. There are always these snidey little kind of self-appointed umpires. Excuse me, you broke rule 4, toothlessly pointing out hypocrisy or the law. Third, they are always reactive, never proactive. They play defense, if you want to put it that way. They're always on the defensive. Four, they are maintainers of the current status quo, even if that status quo is a left-wing status quo. Five, they seek, quote-unquote, respectability. Six, they have atrocious, and I mean atrocious, detection and selection of friend and enemy. Seven, they support, quote-unquote, their team, whether it's their party or their nation, no matter what, even if it is making objectively bad and harmful decisions. Eighth, they are cowardly and easily bullied, perhaps their defining trait in many ways. Nine, despite being cowardly and easily bullied, they always, and I mean always, dig in over the wrong issue. And 10th, they are easily misled with red meat. So easily. In fact, you could probably go to bullfights and see actual cows that are less easily tricked by red meat than the typical conservative. So what are the typical traits of political winners? Now, I'm not just talking about leftists, although in recent history, these have been the political winners. I'm talking about any group really that is good at politics. They are not rule followers, they are rule makers. They'll just switch up the rules. Secondly, they are rule breakers. They engage in what you might call Schmittian decisionism. Third, they are always proactive, never reactive. They set the tempo. I'll talk more about that in a second. Fourth, they look to change things that aren't working, not just maintain the status quo for the sake of it. Fifth, they redefine what respectable means rather than slavishly try to live up to whatever respectable means. Sixth, they are meticulous in their application of friend and enemy. Seventh, they do not support their quote-unquote team, party, nation, no matter what, especially if they disagree with the direction of travel. Eighth, they are bold and they bully others. Ninth, they strategically yield on minor issues to win on those issues that really matter. And 10th, they are never misled and they always have their eye on the goal. And yes, that is a picture of the crown character, Tony Blair. That is the Tony Blair version, the Crown, the TV show version of Tony Blair. But he is somebody who all 10 of these points refer to. And in fact, he incidentally got a recent win on digital ID, something he's had his eye on for many, many years. He never let that go. All right, so I'm going to go through these 10 now in more detail. But before I do so, just a reminder to pick up a course at the academic agency. Buy it now. Which course shall we? Let's go for Foundations of Politics.
Foundations of Politics, only £350. Buy it now. See the world as it is and not how it ought to be. History is the graveyard of aristocracy. Who says organization says oligarchy? Who decides? Who interprets? The extremes of individualism and socialism meet. That was their predestined course. Foundations of Politics, only £350. Buy it now.
All right, so I thought that was an appropriate one to play today, given that we're looking at politics. So let's go through these in a little bit more detail. So the Conservative, just like Bob Backlund in his ill-fated 1993 comeback, is a rule follower. He slavishly just follows the rules, even if that's going to make him lose. Versus the rule maker, the winner, Hulk Hogan there in his WCW days. That doesn't work for me, brother. That doesn't work for me, brother. Now, you can say what you want about Hulk Hogan. He's one of the most successful men ever in professional wrestling. And that's because he made up his own rules. Wasn't a follower. He was a rule maker. Second, to stick with the pro wrestling analogy a second, the Conservative is always playing the amateur referee. Excuse me, that's a technical rule violation, actually. If you see here in chapter 10, rule 4 in the Constitution, it says this, versus the political winner who's just like, fuck that, I'm just going to give you a low blow, as Ric Flair is doing to Kurt Hennig in the screenshot there. If it's effective, if it's going to get you the win, doesn't matter if it's foot on the ropes, doesn't matter if you've got a handful of tights, a win is a win. And, you know, basic Machiavelli friends, the rule breaker in the real world, okay, often has the edge over the one who is slavishly trying to play by the Queensbury rules. The Conservative never gets that. They'd rather honorably lose and follow the rules and play the referee than to get the win. Okay? Just remind you, Ric Flair, 16-time world champion. Third, reactive versus proactive. This is a picture of the famous chess champion, Bobby Fischer. In chess, there is a concept known as tempo. That is, if you're on the front foot, you're going first, you have tempo on your opponent. If your opponent is reacting, they're playing on the defensive. And conservatives are always reactive. They are just the absolute kind of cuckolds of the political world. I've always said they're like kind of political bottoms. And that is because they're always reacting. They're always the one, sorry for my crudeness, that are on the receiving end of the whatever fuckery is going on, basically. Whereas the political winners are proactive. They always have tempo. And now there's a new reality and everybody has to change to, recalibrate to the new reality. That's why I had the picture of Blair, really, at the start, because he did that a lot. He's like, right, there's a new set of rules coming in. We're going to be doing this. And before anybody could even think about what they're doing, they're reacting to what he's done. And he's got tempo. Okay. And if you think about what Tony Blair did to the political establishment of his day, he was like a knife through a hot knife through butter. The Conservatives just melted against the might of Blair during that era. Fourth, status quo versus change. The Conservative, after Edmund Burke, who's pictured on the left here, is absolutely terrified of the prospect of revolution or violent or sudden change. So they do anything not to rock the boat. They'd rather have slow change in a direction they don't want than a sudden change that's going to do anything to throw the cat among the pigeons. Okay? This is one huge reason why they are the perennial butt boys and losers of history and losers of politics, because they follow this kind of Burkean, I would say, I mean, yes, Burke has a few points about how bad a revolution can be and how disruptive it can be. But there comes a point, and this is why I have the picture of Thomas Carlyle on the right here, because he had a contrasting view from that of Burke to the French, on the French Revolution. They both famously wrote books on the French Revolution. And Carlyle was a man who, in many ways, was quote-unquote conservative, but he was more reactionary than conservative. And Burke was more kind of conservative in disposition. What that really boiled down to was the fact that they both saw what was happening. They both saw how terrible the French Revolution was. And Burke's conclusion was, we must do whatever possible to avoid that happening here, even if it means slow change in the direction of the enemy. Okay. Thomas Carlyle, on the other hand, said, no, actually, the French aristocracy were decadent. They were corrupt. They were rotten. They failed to steer the ship of state in a fruitful direction. They had become kind of morally bankrupt, and so they deserve to be purged with fire. Correct, Thomas Carlyle, based Thomas Carlyle. And this is really one of the big differences between how some of us think versus how the typical conservative thinks. At what point does an elite become so bankrupt, so corrupt, that they need to be cleared out? Edmund Burke, that's my question. At what point does that need to happen?
Clear them out. Clear out. Clear them out. You got to clear them out. You got to clear them out as well. There needs to be a new start.
Stop being such a coward. Number five. The Conservative, as we can see with the supine, pathetic, snivelling figure of David French on the left here, seeks respectability. Versus the political winner who just redefines what respectability is. And this really is the Virgin versus the Chad here, okay? Blair comes in, right, we're going to do things a new way, everybody. It's the Blair era now. I'm going to take my tie off. I'm going to leave my top button undone. I'm going to be a bit more casual. I'm going to go and sit on the match of the day sofa. We're going to do sofa government here. It's a new way of doing things. I don't really care about what those fuddy-duddy conservatives think is respectable or isn't. Sod you, basically. Versus David French, who I've deliberately picked here because he is actually rocking a kind of Blairite look, because David French, being a cuck, being a conservative, actually just kind of by osmosis ends up doing what the trendsetter wants. Sixth, this is a picture of Carl Schmitt, by the way. The Conservative has atrocious, and I mean the world's worst, friend-enemy distinction. The Conservative, who I showed dancing at the start here, is really one of the banner cases of this. I mean, I have seen that person continually pick and back the wrong horse. Continually, even now, with James Lindsay talking about summoning the Archangel Michael and Araman, and as he is losing all of his credibility, oh, this is the moment where he decides, right, I'm going to go all in with James Lindsay. Just the way, like, he has no concept of friend or enemy. He continually backs the wrong horse. And this is all conservatives ever, really. Which is why they're so easily tricked. It's why they basically end up as the useful idiots of others, because they have atrocious friend-enemy distinction. And one of the great learning curves over the past decade or so of, you know, this space in general has been trying to teach people to maintain meticulous friend-enemy distinction. Say what you want about the left, they're extremely good at the friend-enemy distinction. They don't get led astray like a little puppy dog, as the conservatives do. Number seven, unconditional versus conditional support of their team. This is one of the traits I hate most about the Tory boys. But all conservatives really have this in common. It doesn't matter how corrupt the war that NATO are backing happens to be. It doesn't matter how morally bankrupt the leaders get. There they are, cheering it on. You know, yay, we got another win. Yay for Nick Victorian Newland. This is what they're like, because they've just got ear in their head that they're part of Team GB or whatever the hell, right? Team USA, whatever the hell that means. And because of that, they think it's their patriotic duty basically just to cheer on whatever stupid decisions the government of the day has made. And this leads them basically to support every wrong thing ever that happens. You know, this little group of sniveling, wormish Tory boys dancing at the election of Boris Johnson 5 years ago ended up supporting every atrocious thing the Tory government did, from lockdowns, the vaccines, the influx of immigration, Ukraine, Israel, you name it. It doesn't matter. That their support is unconditional. They live vicariously through the victories of the US State Department. But they don't even get access to the cuck chair. They do it for free, you know? Number eight, cowardly, easily bullied. Defining trait of the conservative, cowardly and easily bullied. And of course, the political winner is a bold bully. They're not cowardly, they're bold, and they bully others into submitting to what they want to do. Unlike the conservative, who just acquiesces for a quiet life. Oh, don't want to rock the boat. Oh, you know, what does it matter now? Oh, that, you know, I hate them. You should hate them as well, because they're just losers. Stone cold losers. Number nine, this is another really odd defining trait of theirs. When they become belligerent, it's always over the incorrect thing. They always dig in on some stupid thing that's not ultimately not important and isn't the bottom line. There are so many examples of this, and they always do it. Versus the strategic yielding that I was talking about earlier on. Again, Blair was pretty good at picking and choosing his battles. Oh, I'll give on this a little bit. You know, bit of containment here and there. Keep people on side. Because what I've really got my eye on is digital ID or whatever it happens to be. Okay. And again, the smarter political players know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to yield and hold back, know when to plunge. Never the Tory boy, though. He is just always belligerent about the wrong thing. You know, they always pick the wrong battle to, you know, fix their wagons to, whatever that happens to be. You know, whether it's Vladimir Zelensky or, you know, it's just like pathetic little battles, really. I think Brexit is an example of this. Ultimately, a lot of people will disagree with this, but I think a lot of political capital, energy, investment was wasted on Brexit in this country. Anyway, let's carry on. 10, they are easily misled, always misled by red meat, which they dutifully gobble up like a starving dog. In fact, it's even worse than that most of the time. Do you ever see that film Audition? It's like that little thing, that guy who's been amputated in the bag, and they let the bag out, and she vomits in a bowl, and then he's so hungry that he goes and licks up the vomit. That's basically your typical conservative. You know, just so weak and pathetic, and so lacking in anything really that would make you a political winner. Oh, it's disgusting. It really is. Vile. And that was the grossest thing I could think of. Versus, of course, the political winner, who always just has his eye on who the real enemy are and what needs to be done. Never misled. All right. Hopefully you've got something from this. I'll go back to the 10 points so you can have a look at them again. The typical conservative is a rule follower. He's an amateur referee. He's always reactive and never proactive. He maintains the current status quo. He seeks respectability. He's atrocious at detecting and selecting friends and enemies. He has unconditional support of his team, even if it's doing terrible things. He's cowardly and easily bullied. Always digs in over the wrong issue. And he's easily misled by red meat. Stone cold loser. All right, let me know what you make of this. Pick up a course and I'll see you again tomorrow.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.